Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. And it's good to be here. Thank God that we are in the land of the living, and it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning, and His faithfulness is great, the writer says. So we thank God for that. So it's good to be here on today with another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So thank God for that. So we'd just like to thank everyone, all of our Blog Talk friends, all and our Twitter followers, our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, for listening in on Truth on Blog Talk Radio, just another session. So just good to be able to get into the Word of God. And so, like the Scripture says in Nehemiah, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So you got to get an understanding. So wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get an understanding. So we propose a question to you, as we do, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So very important to receive the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the earnest of your inheritance. It's the down payment of eternal life. So you got to be born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, that the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire. That word clothed means divided. Set upon each of them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when you're born again, you will speak with another tongue or another language. Just like a natural baby is born, one thing what the doctor is wanting to hear, and that is the baby cry. And this is what St. Paul said when he wrote to the Romans, says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit Spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So good to know that, because what the Word says is what's going to make the difference, what is written. So there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. These believers, they were already saved, this church that he started himself. So this is what we call one of his Pauline epistles, one of his prison epistles, and written to people that are already saved. So it's known as the children's bread. So it's good to be here on another day in truth ministry on Block Talk Radio. So we want to continue on, and this is why, so very important. You're not going to know. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So this is what St. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. So that's why I use my theme, the Godhead, because there is only one God, and that's the great mystery, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And like we read in our intro, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. John writes in his epistle not St. John, but the epistle of John. He has three books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Later on in the scriptures, as he writes. But St. John, this is his first book of the incarnate, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. So last week we got done with about 3.5 chapters. So we ended up talking about in the 3rd chapter about being born again, about Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, then so and how he was saying you must be born again. He in him telling Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Jews, you don't know these things. And then so he also said unto him, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered unto him, art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? And he says, we speak the things we do know, testify what that we've seen, and you receive not our witness. So if I have told you earthly things, this is the master still talking to Nicodemus, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? That's a question. So he goes on. He's standing there talking to Nicodemus. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we know that's talking about him being made a curse, him being nailed to the cross. They call it a cross. It was a tree, two pieces of wood nailed together where they nailed him on there and dropped it in the ground, lifted him up. So that's what he was talking about, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he goes on, for God sent not his God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the Son is the body, the Messiah coming in flesh. So that's why they said, John, when he writes earlier, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. So they didn't know who he was. That's why he says, you would have known Moses, you should have known me because he wrote of me. So this is not a secret. So he goes on here, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So if you keep on believing, that ETH on that word believe, this is so important. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this is pretty much where we left off at. So after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and he tarried there with them. He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptizing. So you remember on last week, if you listened or if you caught the session on last week when I was saying about water, it doesn't matter where water is, but it makes what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is called. That is, the blood is in the name. So that's why he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, for the promise is unto you. He was talking to the Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then he testified and exhorted with many other words. This is Peter when he preached that message on the day of Pentecost. And he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So anyway, so going in here, this is before John was cast into prison. So John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that is with thee, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come unto him. He's talking about Jesus. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So remember, we were talking about that on last time. The 40th chapter of Isaiah says, comfort ye my people, speak comfortably unto Jerusalem. You know, talking about her wayfare, all of the things that she received double for her sins. And he went on to say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough places shall be made. The mountains shall be brought low, and the rough places plain. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, and I also made mention about between the Old and the New Testament. So they say between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 years of silence where God didn't say nothing. And he didn't have to say nothing, because there was no prophetic word. He didn't say anything because his word was going to come to pass. So that's what happened. So this is what we're talking about here. So he was going on here. He was saying, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. This is John the Baptist, or the baptizer, still talking. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receive his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, hath committed, given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So remember that ETH. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So should you desire to call in, you can call in at our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, pertaining to the subject, you are welcome to call. So we're continuing on here. And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So that was about noon, because the day started at 6 a.m. So then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So that, you know, she asked that question. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is so important right here, what he said to her. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So what is he saying? You know who I am? You knew who it is that's asking you the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? This woman, very inquisitive. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, which drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. So he's talking about the natural water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you know, those who have experienced being baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, you can feel it. You can feel that spring down in your belly, pumping up. You can hear yourself speaking. That is the power of God. That is the living water, what he's talking about. That is what Isaiah says in 28:11, to whom he said, this is the rest and the refreshing. Because previous verses he says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. But he's talking about Israel, because those are the ones he came unto, his own, they received him not. He says, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. And he goes on to say, yet they would not hear. So they wouldn't hear it. So anyway, so he says, it'll be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. That's talking about spiritually, the Holy Ghost. So the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. So in other words, you told the truth. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is, take note of that statement, because it doesn't matter what God has become, God is still a spirit. Like I said, he can't be confined. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, and he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. Just because he became a man, he's everywhere in every place, everywhere. He's everywhere, here, now, there. God can leave you, come to you, ain't gone. He's not gone nowhere. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresence, which means he's everywhere and every place. And he's omnipotent, which means he has all power. So he can't be confined. That's why David wanted to build him a house. You can't build. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. How are you going to build him a house? So he wants to be in our house, which is our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the temple that he wants to dwell in. So the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So this, listen to this very next statement. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Can you imagine? So, like I said, he had already made these statements that he didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, in other words, just like he said, he came into the world, St. Paul said in Timothy when he wrote to his son in the gospel, to save sinners of whom I am chief. So he was saying he didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he said, he that believeth not on the only begotten Son of God is condemned already. This is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So in other words, you ain't got to badger somebody and beat them down because their conscience is bearing them witness. They already feel bad enough. Don't knock them down. Pray them up. So that's why he came in the world, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. So you read in the Gospels, we know why he came. He came to give his life. So, you know, he was a lamb. That's why John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, yeah, we know when you read in the mind of God, he was already slain. Everything has already come to pass in the mind of God, but it's still got to come to fruition. So these things we had to believe. We weren't just saved just because God foreknew us and predestinated us before the foundation of the world. His foreknowledge, knowing that we were going to say yes to the gospel, but we got to do something. That's why he said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you believe it, you got to do it. So you believe that you're going to get paid. You're going to go to work. You go to work and do your job. You believe you're going to get paid. You can't say that you believe that you're going to get paid and then you don't go or you don't work. You're not going to get paid. You reap what you sow. So you got to do something. So faith without works is dead. Now, so we're not working to be saved, and when you become a child of God after you're born again, but we're working because we are already saved. So we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So in other words, we're doing something. We're redeeming the time. St. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He says, you know, about whatever makes light is manifest. So he was saying, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You know, how see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And he goes on to say, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So in other words, we coming in here, we got to make up for lost time. So we got to work. Just like he said, work while it's day, when night cometh, no man can work. So that's what he was talking about, him being, he is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we're going to get to that as we go on here. So he's going on here, when he told her, I that speak it unto thee, I'm he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. Because like, man, he's talking to, this woman was, had to be a very attractive woman. She done had five husbands. And so you just got to think and see the picture in your mind, what was going on. So they marveled. And that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto her. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So in other words, they were asking him to eat. You need to eat something. He went on to let them know, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man bought him aught to eat? You see, that's when they went to buy bread. So in other words, did somebody bring him something while we were gone? You know, just the way of looking at it, like he was saying that I have meat to eat that you know not of. So, 'cause they knew, like, you need to eat something because he was in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was in a body just like they were. So he goes on here, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So say not ye, there are yet 4 months. Then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white, all ready to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. So in other words, they came, because that's what her message was. Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. So they did come, and he stayed with them 2 days. So you can imagine, he fed them bread from heaven. And so, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And so, you know, just like they say, your people, sometimes you have to leave town because people know you. You know, he said a prophet. He didn't say himself. But even on the other hand, he himself, because your brothers and your sisters, like, I know him. I was raised with him. You know, they're not going to just automatically give you honor. But if they have an understanding and perceive that you are a prophet of God, you're a man of God, you're a woman of God, that's what he's saying, that you may not get the honor in your own town, in your own country, but other people will give it to you. They don't know you. They met you. They know who you are now. But others who knew you before you were a prophet, that's what he's saying. So you don't get honor for some people. They don't, you know, but some people, they remember. They can never get past in their mind what you did, how you were. That's what he's saying. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. So remember, that was the beginning of the miracles that he did. This, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now remember, this is what they were talking, the place Isaiah was talking about. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Because as he went into Capernaum and he dwelt there, like somebody said, you know, he didn't join the crowd, but that was a dark place. It was probably a depressing place. But light has sprung up, is what the prophet wrote about that dark place, Capernaum. So when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here, my child dies. So in other words, if you don't come down here, my son is dying. He's going to die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. So notice how everything falls in line here. And so, let's see, what was that? Yeah. And so his servants had met him, and as he went his way, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amends. I don't know what he had. He was sick unto death. They said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Galilee, of Judea into Galilee. Now, so this particular time, he didn't even see him. He didn't even lay hands on him. He sent his word. What'd he say? Thy son liveth. And so that's what you got to know, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. That's why he says, so then, faith come by hearing, and hearing. So it's repetition. So in other words, so just like he said, what we want to know is, did God say it? So that's the problem nowadays. Too many people are saying things that God didn't say. Now, you can say you believe God. I believe God is going to do this. I believe God is going to do that. But people are saying the Lord said. Now, God doesn't miss. And so Jesus himself spake the words out of his mouth when he was walking the shores of Galilee. He was in this earth on foot, Emmanuel with us in a human body. Whatever he said was so. He speaks and it's going to come to pass. He said, thy son liveth. That's it. Nobody could change it. His word went forth out of his mouth. That's why Isaiah said, as the snow and the rain cometh down from heaven, it maketh the earth to bring forth and the bud. So he says that it may give seed to the sower. What is he talking about? The snow and the rain? He's literally talking about snow and rain coming down from heaven. Maketh the earth to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's talking about a farmer getting more seed so he can grow some more wheat to make bread. So he goes on to say, that's in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, near the end. So he says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but shall accomplish the thing I sent it, and prosper in that which I please. So this is God talking through the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter. So it's the same God. Remember I was saying, so he was saying in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, the 45th chapter of Isaiah, when he says, you my witness, saith the Lord, my servants in whom I have chosen, that you may believe that I am he, and beside me there is no savior, you know. So nobody's beside me. None's with me. So every knee is going to bow to God. Every tongue is going to confess to God. And so St. Paul got the revelation that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you got to realize that he is in his earthly form. He came as the Son of God. He didn't stop being God because he came to the earth, into the world that he made. He didn't stop being God. So we can see other times in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and those three men came down and talked to Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, when he Abraham drew near. And he interceded and said about, if you can find 50, I won't destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, on down to 10. So then at the end of that conversation, them three men, because they had eight, made food and everything. And then at the end, it says the Lord, when he got done communing with Abraham, the Lord went his way. My question is, where did he go? He's God. He can do whatever he wants to be. He can appear in any way that he wants to. Sometimes in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was God himself. Other times, the angel of the Lord was the angel of the Lord. So he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And so we go on here. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. So our time is quickly getting away. So should you desire to call in, you can call 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, you always went up when you went to Jerusalem. And so there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So that's legitimate. You have to, like they say, If you want the same results, you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same results. But if you want different results, you got to do something different. So was he condemned by what he said? No, he wasn't. Because he just he is giving the recollection of what has been happening in the past. All them certain seasons when that angel would come down to trouble the water, he couldn't get in there. The first one got in was the one that was made whole. So Jesus knew all about that, as we read previous verses. He knew all about that, and he was going through there on purpose. He knew all about it. So that's why he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And that's when he was saying, every time I try to get in, somebody else get in my way before me. So Jesus said unto him, in other words, man, I'm going to fix this. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So remember, they always try to find fault. So he was saying the Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. Therefore is the Son of Man Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath, literally, in that day, in the kingdom age, in the time to come, is a sought covenant with Israel. So they're going to keep that. But in the meantime, in the day of grace, because people say, try to act like we're supposed to keep, who changed it, this, that, and the other. No, actually, in reality, when you get saved, when you're born again, you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, which is the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you live right every day. So every day is the same. There is no difference. So yes, on the first day of the week is when the New Testament church would come together for their worship, but you have other worship days as well. And we do even today. So it doesn't matter. You're still worshiping God. Not only that, you're coming together. If you gather yourself together, you're congregating together in the house of the Lord. But you're still the body of Christ, which are many members in particular. So you come together to worship, to give God worship and to give God praise. And everything else that comes along with worship. But that the literal Sabbath that he's talking about, what they are still, they didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That is the nation of Israel. And so he's going to raise up Israel. That is the whole nation of Israel is going to be raised, that those dry bones in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. The writer goes on to say, this is the whole house of Israel. So Israel is the earthly seed, and the church is the heavenly seed, as the stars of heaven, and the literal Israel, literally the earthly seed, is the sand of the sea, innumerable. Same way with the stars of heaven. The Lord telleth the number of the stars, the psalmist says, and he call them all by their names. So what a mighty God he is. So we go on here. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And, you know, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. So in other words, you're gonna fight against God? You're gonna go against God? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Like Paul wrote to the church at Rome, it is God who justified. And then he went on to say, who is he that condemneth? So you know who that is. It's not God. It's the devil is the condemned. Try to condemn you. So he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And he that he that was healed wist not who it was. This, he didn't even know who he was. But Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus finded him in the temple. That was the man who that he made whole, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So, see, they understand that. So that's one thing that we have to understand, is that the Jews do understand who the Messiah is. They just didn't want to accept him, that he came. So they're still going through all of those rituals. They're still going to that wailing wall, wailing. They're still looking for him to come, and he's already came. He came unto his own received him not. So they're going to realize in that day, they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to see his hands, the wounds, because he's going to show him that body. And they're going to ask the question, when did you get these? He's going to tell them, I was wounded in the house of my friends. And so then answered the Jews, said unto him, verily, verily, then answered Jesus and said unto them. So when he told them, so remember now, they knew that they just didn't want to accept that he was the Messiah. And then let me make something really perfectly clear. The nation, the whole nation of, they didn't accept him as the Messiah as a nation. Some Jews were saved, because you read, go back to the first and the second chapter of Acts. There were Jews from every nation under heaven. They were saying, how here we are, these people speaking in their own tongues wherein they were born, and they went to name them out. And so they were saying, we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So the problem was that not the whole nation. So that's the remnant. The 144,000 is those that were left over, 12,000 from each tribe. So that's not no so-called Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, they're the real ones. They're God's real witnesses, not a group of people going around telling all this stuff to people and don't believe the Bible and didn't believe that Jesus was the prophet, and he is now the priest, and he shall be the king. So he had three offices to fulfill, so he is so awesome. So right now he is the priest. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the great high priest that ever liveth to be making intercession for us, and that is, he's praying through us. That's why St. Paul said, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is in the 8th chapter of Romans. He that searcheth the mind of the Spirit, knowing what is it, he knows what is the mind of God. So the Holy Ghost is the interceder that's interceding through people. So he was the prophet, well spake. Even the woman at the well says, I perceive thou art a prophet. He's the priest now, and he shall be the king. And this is why St. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:15, I believe it is. He says, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. That word potentate means supreme ruler. So he's going to show. So he got to fulfill that office of king also. So Matthew knew that he was the king. He wrote of that. And he was a servant, and he was the son of man. Luke and Mark wrote. But John writes, he is the incarnate. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. So we go on here, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, whatsoever things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now here's the part you got to catch. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, that means he makes the dead alive, that word quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And here, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. As the Father hath life in himself, so he giveth to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And so, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So that's the scripture right there that I use to try to tell people that nobody is in hell presently. That was a parable in the 16th chapter of Luke. But when you die, a child of God, your spirit goes back to God that gave it. Your soul is intact with the body. That's what he's going to come. He's going to save us. This is why the writer of St. Paul said that our conversation is in heaven. He's talking about that lifestyle that we live. From hence, we look for the Lord Jesus. And he goes on to say, this is in the third chapter of Philippians, who shall save our, he's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So in the book of Romans, he says that even the creature itself waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And he was going on saying about, to wit, the redemption of our body. The whole creation is groaning together and travailing. So waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the redemption of our bodies. Then John says, now are we the sons of God. In 1 John, the third chapter, it does not yet, what manner of love, he says, in 1 John, the first chapter, the first epistle of John, the first chapter, beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? So the subject is the Father. So he goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Then he goes on to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He goes on to say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So he's going to appear. So he says, I can do of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So remember, in the next chapter over, St. John 6 and 63, he's going to make a statement. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. So what is he saying? The spirit gives life. So the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So that's life changing. Sure enough, just when he told that man, go thy way, thy son liveth. So he can't lie. That's why in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer said it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. So he can't lie. When he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So that's what we should be desiring as people of God. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. So that's the problem. with too much of this stuff. These people going around gibbering and jabbering, trying to make up stuff like they're some great one, like the Simon the Sorcerer. and it ain't coming to pass. And then some false prophet had the nerve to say that sometimes, you know, these so-called prophets that he sent, you know, he didn't like it because people were knocking them. Yeah, because you a lie. You a lying prophet. In the Old Testament, what did they do with false prophets? Somebody was a lying prophet, they literally killed them. What did the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Elijah do in 1 Kings? Those prophets of Baal, he slew them. What did the prophet Samuel do to Agai? He sliced them in pieces. Literally, prophet Samuel did. So we're going on here. He was saying, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that his witness is true, which he witnessed is true. That he witnessed of me is true. Yet ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He's talking about John the Baptist. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, ye believe not. And this is one of my scriptures you probably heard me quote. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's talking about the scriptures. So we're going to end it right there. So we'll be back again on next time to give you more of truth on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And like we always ask you, it is so very important. And ask yourself, you can't get away from your own conscience at this question. And that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?